Thank you. I'm going to take a look at that.
It's good to be here, meeting with everybody here this afternoon to continue our series through being, knowing, and doing. Appreciate Richard doing a great job last week on that particular lesson area. So we're going to continue. I'm going to be talking about knowing this morning, or knowing this afternoon and everything. So, of course, due to the symbolic chart up there, it's almost an ecosystem. I hear everything works together.
Yeah, it does.
You know, understanding the knowing, the being, and doing, ecosystem of spiritual maturity. Being, what Richard talked about last week, being, the definition is the core of who you are, your identity, character, presence, and a life. The focus is becoming more like Jesus. Being, what does it mean to become more like Jesus? John 3:30 says, He must become greater, and I must become less.
That's right.
New American Standard Version says he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, in order for that to happen, we need to have the heart to allow the potter to shape us.
Yes.
Just gonna be. And when you can embrace what being is about, becoming more like Jesus, it's then we can kind of just move on into the knowing part. And knowing, the definition is, what you understand, believe, and perceive, your mental framework, insights, and discernment. The focus is understanding God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and our relationship with them. Three things we'll talk about as we go through knowing is knowing God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit is liberates, matures, and renewal. We have John 8:31-32. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Liberate is defined as set someone free from a situation, especially imprisonment or slavery, in which their liberty is severely restricted. So let's go back and discuss the scripture here. John 8:31-32. Knowing liberates. He says to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. So how does the scripture speak about being liberated?
About delivering?
Liberate.
Liberate.
Yeah. How does the scripture speak about being liberated?
By knowing the truth.
Okay.
The tricky thing here is that to know the truth, you first got to hold to it. So it's in reverse order then. Sometimes you usually think about it, but usually I want to know first before I do something. Right, but here it's you trust and do it, then you know it, and then you're set free.
Does this scripture speak about any type of lukewarmness in this?
No. Well, it says to those who believed him, he's talking to people who already believed him, that they weren't going to be set free, though, unless they held to the truth.
Is there a distinction that God makes? So we talked about... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
So, Gurley, you shared that if you hold to his teaching, we know that's important to be liberated. You got to hold to something. If you don't hold and stand for something, that can set you free. You're not free at all. Knowing the truth is what sets you free. But he's very particular about the people who will hold to the truth. And who are those people?
Those who believe him. So he really is making a distinction amongst the believers, because he didn't say when you believe. He said, all of you who believe me, if you obey after having believed, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he recognizes that some people are going to know, they're going to have faith, they're going to know, believe in him as God, and still not do.
Okay. Can you say something?
I was about to say something. So the distinction here too is he's not talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. He's not. He's only talking to people who believe. So at some point they heard about him, and then now he's just specifically now telling the people who believe.
And what's the key word here that he makes that distinction with?
The sign.
What's the other word?
If.
What's the other word?
Hold.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Hold to my teachings.
Okay, yeah. What's the word? You look to get at it.
Try.
If you are.
Really.
What's that word?
Really.
That's the key word.
Really.
Everybody says I'm a disciple, but he says, if you are really, that word speaks to being set apart.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It speaks to you being set apart. Really? It's like everybody can claim to, hey, I'm it. He says, well, we'll see, as you guys say, if you hold to my teachings.
Right.
You know, so, you know, being liberated, it talks about being liberated, is about holding to the teachings, knowing the truth, and really being my disciple. Mm-hmm. And we all know everybody comes and sits in a seat. It's not necessarily committed. But the challenge here for us to be liberated and understand what it means and knows what it means to be liberated is you gotta hold to the truth. Not any truth, but God's truth.
The distinction he makes there is holding. Mm-hmm. It's different than just obeying when you want to or when you feel like it or just parts of it. You know, holding on to it means, you know, grasping hold and not letting go, mm-hmm. and not putting it down whenever it's inconvenient.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I think in our day and time, it could mean more or have higher implications than it did back then, because nobody had written copies of his words. Nobody, mm-hmm. you had to have been there, mm-hmm. basically, to hold to his teachings, because that's the only way you could know them. Mm-hmm. Today, I think we need to make sure we're in the scriptures every day. If we're not in the scriptures, then we're likely not going to be holding.
Mm-hmm.
As everybody reaches to silence their phones.
I appreciate that person sitting that morning saying. one of the things about holding on to something, I was watching this documentary based on D-Day, World War II. And you know, a lot of times we pray, because we're in the current generation we are, we pray like, this prayer is so important. But it was shown in this one documentary as these guys are hitting the beach. And it was, these guys were talking about their prayers. And one guy said, Lord, if you just let me make it across this beach. Because bullets were flying and everything. And he was just like, he's like, Lord, if you let me make it across this beach, on this beach, I promise when I go back, I will do better. His whole prayer was that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, he was just holding on to that. That meant so much to him. And I thought about the way we pray today, you know, it's totally different, because we're not faced with those situational adversity they were dealing with. But I think like Nora's saying, like I said, you know, just in our current generation, and what we have, we have the books, we have the writings. So we have to really hold on to Jesus' teaching. Mm-hmm. In the midst of all the distractions, personal attacks that we deal with by following Jesus. You know, God wants to release you. He's a chain breaker. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
He breaks chains, and he desires to release us. For what purpose? So that we can mature. Knowing what it means to mature, I should say. Ephesians 4:13-15 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Mature is defined as becoming fully grown, intrinsic, to become fully grown or developed. So let's go back and talk about the scripture. where do we see maturity, where he speaks about us becoming mature in this scripture in our life?
I think it's important to notice that he says become. Like it's a,
process.
That's it. Donald said. I feel like it's an active process. It's not just a, okay, I'm here. I'm done now. You know.
Also,
and that Christ is the standard for maturity, not our tenure in church, but Christ, how much we reflect Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think maturity, knowing maturity, you know, I think it it involves making right choices along the way. I mean, it involves making wrong choices too, but being able to see the difference between them when, you know, after it's passed, whether it's where you, you know, where you're going to go to work or where you're going to live or I mean, there's so many things, the choices we have to make. And we have to learn from that, them, whether we make the right or the wrong choice. We have to learn to be more like Jesus by it. How was I not like Jesus? Or how was I successful?
Good point. He says, in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And like Donald said, that is the process, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I love that as you mature, you're growing, and you want to attain, you're actually going to attain the whole of the fullness of Christ. He says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. That's so much of that every day. It's constantly going. But he says the only way that you can overcome that is by how? The first part of that scripture is what? In the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining to the fullness of Christ. There's no other way you can overcome the schemes, the craftiness of this world unless you attain to the fullness of Christ. I appreciate what Donna said earlier, you know, it's about, you know, you make bad choices, you make good choices, and you learn from both. And hopefully you will weigh them both by God, not by worldly standards, my personal standards, how I feel, my truth. No, but weigh them against God, His word, what He says, right? That's where growth happens.
I have a question. That last sentence where it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, you know, I like that it's making a comparison rather than all this tossing back and forth. Instead, I'm kind of like, huh, so who's doing the speaking the truth in love? I mean, I don't know off the top of my head the context of what's prior, but I almost feel like it could be even, you know, us speaking the truth to ourselves, you know, like rather than... So I don't know if anybody has any context in that, but I just thought.
I was looking at the same thing, exactly the same thing, and I was thinking, I haven't looked at it like that, but it's right before it says we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. It's right before that it says instead, this is what we're doing. I think this is what we're doing. Instead, we're speaking the truth in love, we will grow.
So it's like
to come in every
is it both we're speaking the truth in love to each other and to come to ourselves? Or
I think so.
I think you do speak the truth to yourself, and those are coming to do something I'd be like, that was dumb, Sydney. That was dumb. That was stupid. I don't know, you may not do it, but I'd be like, that is stupid. Why did you do that? You know? But I think it's both. You speak the truth to yourself, and you speak the truth to others. And I love the challenge. He said, you will grow from that. If you never speak the truth, if you speak lies, there's no growth. There's nothing. You're just back to the first part of that sentence. Deceitfully scheming. Scheming yourself. It doesn't happen.
Believe the lie.
That's it.
But yeah. You know, the second part
in connection. In connection with what Julia was saying, you know, because in the John 8:31-32, mm-hmm. Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings. Mm-hmm. So he's expecting us to internalize, to memorize, to live,
right.
To apply.
Yeah.
And so the other one, when we talk about speaking the truth in love, is that we should be able to detect, see, and speak on it when we don't see it in ourselves and in others as well. Because, you know, we're supposed to be the bell tower. Is that the right term?
Watchtower.
Yes.
The watchtower. You know, ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. Brother, sister, you know, let's get back in that hour road. You know, and ourselves too. Like, you know, sometimes things that come out of our mouth, even in conversation with other ones, you're like, did I just say that? Do I really believe what I just said?
Yeah.
I think there are two things here. One, and I don't know for specific in this verse, but knowing, the word knowing in the New Testament is often talks about personal, intimate knowledge, as in, you know, being acquainted or being married, kind of personal knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
And the other thing, speaking the truth in love, presupposes that those who are being spoken to are open to hearing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a lot about us. Like God knows He can do to us, but you know, how do we want to hear it? Yeah. Not gonna go anywhere. Amen. So I love. So how do we become mature? We mature by knowing God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's how you mature.
And by interacting with one another as well.
Amen.
And the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. True. I love some of the plant here. I think Jesus spoke something like this earlier, and I came down to it. Just you see the process of the plant slowly maturing. Mm-hmm. It has to feed off the nutrients in the dirt. If you don't feed off the nutrients in the dirt, or the sun, or the moisture, or the water, it won't grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a garden term. I think Julia knows a lot about that. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we go from knowing it's about being able to set free, knowing it's about maturity, and now knowing it's about a renewed being. It's the very thing we just talked about last week. Colossians 3:10, it says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. And Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I've done research here about a butterfly, Marie is here. It says a butterfly symbolizes renewal through its dramatic fourth stage of metamorphosis: the egg, the larva, the pupil, and the adult. The creature completely breaks down its old ground-dwelling form within the chrysalis to rebuild itself in a winged flying insect, representing a profound total transformation, rebirth, and a new beginning.
Yeah. Jeez. If you were like from another planet, you wouldn't even know that those things were related.
That's true.
That larva, that caterpillar has nothing to do with that butterfly.
So true.
Amazing.
So true.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the key aspects of the butterfly as a symbol of renewal. What renewal includes. It says radical transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, it's talking about that chrysalis. The caterpillar's body breaks down and cells reorganize into a completely different creature, mirroring personal growth, change, and the potential to emerge stronger.
Mm-hmm.
leaving the past behind. The caterpillar must let go of its old form and life to become a butterfly, symbolizing the shedding of old habits, limitations, or past selves to embrace a new, higher form of existence. Emergence from darkness. After a period of isolation in the chrysalis, the butterfly emerges, representing hope, resurrection, and the triumph of life over limitations. Symbolizing of rebirth, in many cultures, the butterfly life cycle is used to represent spiritual awakening, the soul's journey, and the constant clinical nature of life. I'm sorry, psychological nature of life. So let's talk about this. We talk about this being renewed. When you think of radical transformation and looking at the butterfly and spiritual, how we need to be radically transformed, what are your thoughts?
Honestly, I felt like if an insect, like this insect can be completely transformed, then, you know, I have no excuse. Like, God can transform me too. That was the thought that came in my head. Yeah.
Something I always remember from my science class is that that butterfly, if somebody, and Zuma and I were talking about this, I think it was just this morning, about how we can stand in the way of God when God is working in someone's life, and we want to, oh, they're suffering, want to stop the hurt or whatnot. If with the butterfly, if somebody were to help the butterfly out of the cocoon,
yes,
it would never survive because it needed to go through those trials to strengthen its wings in order to make it able to fly.
Yeah.
And when we try to shortcut for people who need to learn the truth of God, most of us have done it for our children. We get in the way of God, and was stealing an opportunity for them to grow.
Yeah, I think about, you know, the pressure it takes to turn a lump of coal into diamond.
Right.
And we're like, God is like constantly got us in that pressure cooker, saying, I'm helping you become like Jesus, and it's not always going to feel good. I remember, you know, the passage in the Bible that says, Jesus, the Lord Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. If the Lord Jesus had to learn obedience through his suffering, how do we think we will escape it? And so it's up to us to have the mindset that we're going to let that suffering, we're going to trust God, because I think it all starts there, and let that suffering transform us and not tear us apart.
I think just too about just going on what Julia had mentioned about just the drastic difference between a little pussy caterpillar and a butterfly. I mean, the difference is, you know, radical. I mean, people could tell, you could tell that there's a difference. And I think as we grow more mature in Christ, the people that knew us before that should be able to see that difference too. You know, if we're still walking around and they're thinking that we're the same old person, you know, then we need to question just how, you know, close we are to achieving that maturity.
Mm-hmm. You think people should see a radical transformation in our character now that we follow Jesus?
Yes.
It should be very noticeable.
And it should be ongoing. I mean, I think that's maybe perhaps one difference in this. Butterfly analogy, they make one big transformation and it's one and kind of done, but you know, we have all made radical transformations. I would venture to say that who we are now is very different from the people we were before we became disciples.
Yeah.
But how much have we changed in the last 5 years or the last 10 years? You know, that if Christ is the standard, then we should constantly be changing and growing towards that standard. It doesn't just stop after you just become a disciple. So, you know, all that does is convict me to say I got a lot more radical transforming to happen here, as I continue to try to, you know, strive towards the example of Christ.
I just want to say, too, if Lori was saying, you know, it's ongoing, it's never stopping. You know, it's like we don't even need to see a stop sign. Take away the stop sign because it's not one there.
Right.
Because we're, you know, to be like Jesus would be almost like perfection.
Right.
And so we're striving for that righteousness. We might never make perfection, but we will be righteous and strive for holiness. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Those things, like, we don't even see a stop sign. Mm-hmm. Just take that away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Transformation. Okay, so the next one is leaving the past behind. All right, how many times have you gone back and picked up your luggage since you've been in the cycle?
Right.
Stuff you posted up behind. Some reason you go pick it back up, think there's a place for it in your life, but then you bring it in, you're like, oh, God, this is bad. This has done nothing but take me. I took 2 steps forward, now I'm taking 4 steps back. This is not helpful.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about leaving the past behind, you call that old stuff away. It says, let go of the old form and life to become a butterfly. For us, it's letting go of those old habits to become more like Jesus. When you hold on to the old stuff, you don't get to know God any better. You just don't. To be able to know God, to be able to mature, you have to let go of the old you. What do you feel like is the obstacle for us when it comes to leaving the past behind?
Pride.
Pride, yeah.
Trusting God, because really, I think all of us are tempted, well, I'll just speak for myself, I can be tempted when I'm struggling with something to go back to previous ways of handling things, or previous ways of seeking comfort. Mm-hmm. And the enemy wants us. He's looking for those opportunities to tempt us with those things from the past. What the only thing that can prevent us from going back to that, or me from going back to that, is do I trust God to get me through this situation or not? And if I trust God, then I'm going to have to hold on and work through the situation until I get to the other side. He entices us. And our own selfish desires entice us to want to go back to what was comfortable before, or easier before.
The thing that holds me back the most is when I'm not making the effort to be close to God.
Mm-hmm.
When I stop drawing near to God, I start becoming more like me. And it's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't leave the past behind, you start thinking, if I'd have made this decision right here, it probably would have been better. If I'd have made this decision right here, it probably would have been better. We start thinking that life would have been a lot better if I made a different decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's not...
That's not healthy at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's not healthy at all. And all of everything. Mm-hmm. So you have to leave the past totally behind. I think like Gloria said earlier, you know, like Jesus, you're going to go through moments of suffering. We hear a lot, it says you can go through the valley some days and some days you're in the mountaintop. It's all of a process of us learning to grow and become mature in Christ. It's also a process of us being renewed. He says, emerging from the darkness. The latter part is, it says, the butterfly emerges, representing hope, resurrection, and the triumph of life over limitations. So how was the darkness putting limits on our life? What would you say? How was the darkness? When we didn't know Christ, wasn't connected, how was it putting a limit on our lives?
I'm sorry, I'm thinking even of darkness and dark periods, right?
Thinking
of sometimes you go through a dark period as a Christian, and I think it's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we can have, or I can have a perspective that this is dark.
Uh-huh.
When God's perspective is totally different about the time, it's growth, it's training, it's painful, it's something you know, in the chrysalis, mm-hmm. because that's the only way you grow, mm-hmm. or the only way that this person's going to grow or whatever, is because they need to go through something. So I think coming out of it, you can look back and see, oh, that was awesome that I went through that, you know, because I wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't be feeling like this if I didn't go through that. But going through it, it's dark. It feels dark.
When you're stumbling around in the darkness, you can't see. And if you can't see, you know, you don't have anything to go towards. You know, you can't see the light, you can't see the hope, you can't see the goodness that God has waiting for you because, you know, there's darkness there.
I often think that we find ourselves in darkness and we don't leave the past behind. When we're holding on, you know, kind of, you know, ruminating. It's like, you know, let it go, put the past behind. And then there's like a freedom that comes from that where it's like, you know, like, wow, I don't have to carry this anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've definitely experienced that where it's like, you know, I've felt hurt or misunderstood or whatever, and I'm just like, it's just going again and again and again and again, and I'm miserable until I make the decision, you know what, I can let this go. Mm-hmm. And then I don't feel in the dark anymore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
A lot of times when someone is in the dark, when I'm in the dark, when anybody is, you don't even really notice it. You know, that butterfly doesn't know that it's in the dark. It's just nobody can see it, and he doesn't know. And
yeah.
we can be the same way. And until we come out of until we break out of that nest or whatever it's in, until we break out of it, we don't know we've been in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And part of that, I think you're right, and part of that requires us to be telling each other that you are in the dark. Even then, we may not get it, but at least people are trying to pass us flashlights, you know, like you can help you find your way out. I mean, I think circumstances can take us there in addition to the past or just our own perceptions. You know, I love that knowing is also about your perceptions of things. I just think about how people in, you know, just some of the clips we've seen of some of our brothers and sisters in some developing countries, for instance, who are so filled with joy at being disciples of Jesus, even though they live in very, very challenging circumstances. Either they are being very, very poor, and they don't have a lot of material assets, or they're in places where they're persecuted, and yet they have such a great joy and faith and trust. And that comes from your mindset, you know, kind of where you would put your mind and your heart and not what your conditions are. Mm-hmm. So I do think that, but I also do think that, you know, we can't forget the spiritual battle, that there is an enemy who's trying to create these dark situations for us to block our view of the light, to get us caught up in wrong thinking. So that our own light will be dimmed, let alone us being in the darkness ourselves, but even our light that we're trying to shine to others is dimmed. And we need to trust God in that, and we need help from our brothers and sisters in that.
The family symbolism of rebirth. In many cultures, the butterfly's life cycle is used to represent a spiritual awakening. The soul's journey and the constant cyclical nature of life. You know, this last part talks about knowing is renewal. It's about renewal. I think Romans 12:2 said, no longer to conform to the pattern of this world. Mm-hmm. In order to have renewal, you have to disconnect from the world, although you live in the world. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't adapt his thinking or his behavior.
Right.
I think Richard shared last week when he did being, and the scripture says, God chose people, chosen people who are holy. And we all agree that holy means set apart. Mm-hmm. So although we're in this world, we need to be like, we're set apart. We're not like the world. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we're not going to feel the attacks from the world. But we have an image and we have a character that says, I'm different. And I'm going to let that shine. I think as Zuma said earlier, the watchtower. And that's how we're going to impact people. That's how we're going to impact each other. Mm-hmm. When we see a brother and sister looking more like Jesus, mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, man, that's encouraging. But when we see a brother and sister looking more like the world, that's discouraging. Mm-hmm. And that may go to things like Delisha just said, don't say, you know, that can make you feel like you're in the dark. It's like, wow, what's going on here? You know, that mm-hmm. can cause depression and discouragement. But knowing is about being liberated. God wants us to be set free through his truth. God wants us to mature by not only speaking truth and love, but coming to the full knowledge of Christ. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to know what renewal is. And renewal is, he said, you know what? Don't conform to the pattern of the world that you live in. Mm-hmm. Although you are here, this is not home. Move forward. Finally, guys, we're going to, last two scriptures I'm going to share. Knowing God's doing. James 1:22-25, read this last week. Richard Ray did a good job. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now the last part that stuck out to me says, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. And now get this, I thought, wait a minute, you know, he says, if you do it, you'll be what? You'll be blessed in what?
You know the truth.
Amen. You know the truth. He said, you'll be blessed in what you do. Never thought about that. Mm-hmm. He says, don't forget what you heard. He says, but doing it. Do the things you heard, doing it, and you'll be blessed in what you do. That's like, that is powerful. And I don't think he means like, oh, I'm going to go do this, do that. I think it's like doing the things that you've heard from God. Because you'll be like, well, I heard this in the world, heard that in the world. I did it, but not, I didn't feel blessed by it. No, this is about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Hearing the Word, putting it into practice, not forgetting about it. I think, is the Old Testament says, write it on your hearts, your minds. Mm-hmm. I think Deuteronomy, I think you did that. You read Deuteronomy 6, I think it was. Write it on your church's heart and all things like that. He says, and you'll be blessed in what you do. Mm-hmm. This really is an old scripture saying from the Old Testament, because God was big on that about, hey, I'll be with you. I'll bless you in everything you do as long as you obey and heed to my words and not forget me.
Yes. I think all of us can probably relate to times where we're working so hard towards something, you know, doing something, you know, with all of our might, but it's our might. Mm-hmm. And so it basically comes to nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I put all this work into this, and it's just not turning out. It's like, well, you didn't bring God along.
Amen.
So you're not blessed in what you do.
Amen.
Amen. Right. You know, I'm going through the Bible again. You know, I do this every other year, where I read it from front to back. And one of the things that I picked up this time around, which it's been there, but this time around, it's like, huh? You know, when God was telling Moses, everything that you needed to do, and each time, at different intervals, he said, and they will know that God is with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they will know that God is with you. He kept repeating that. You know, one of the things that I share, you know, with the couple that helped us in our first marriage was, I shared with them in another couple. And the sister was like, yeah, it's like, we should be signaling, right? We should be signaling. And I'm like, yeah, it goes back to what Jesus said. You know, if you hold to my teachings, and also a new command I give you. If you love one another as I have loved you, what's going to happen? Everyone, right? The world will know that you are my disciples.
Yeah.
The signal from us, are we being intent on signaling who we are?
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to remembering, internalizing, practicing the Word of God, not just knowing it for the sake of knowing it, for the, you know, possibility of being able to recite it somewhere to someone new. No, it's all for the individual that reads it must internalize it. You know, because when you go back to Deuteronomy, it says, post it on your door.
Yeah.
Talk about it on the road.
Yeah.
You know, all the different ways that God tells us, don't forget about me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about me.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And it's good, you know, I'm 68 years old, and it's like, yeah, I better get this right, because I'm closer to those, what do we call it, honey, the streets of gold. I'm getting closer. And it's so important that we get it.
Yes.
You just don't read it, like, you know, James said, do what he says.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think that sets us apart. It really sets us apart.
Yeah.
Colossians 1:9-10 says, for this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I think that is so powerful. We pray for each other. We pray for a lot of people. But I love it when he says, let me get right here. He says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. There's just so many things. You know, when you're like bearing fruit, you think about, you know, you got to baptize a lot of people, but this is not talking about just baptizing people. This is talking about everything
you do
for God.
Yes.
Every piece of fruit you bear, whether it's servitude, whether it's going to work, whether it's conversation, everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, bear fruit in your glory. He says, man, this is about living a life worthy of the Lord. And so important. And with that, he goes again, growing in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
That is key.
Bless you.
Finally, in closing, knowing is about being set free. That needs to always be our mentality. Knowing is about being set free. Literally. Knowing is about becoming full grown. God wants us to become mature. He wants us to achieve the fullness of Christ. That is his desire for us. Knowing is about spiritually awakening. He don't want us, as I was saying, to be asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be spiritually awake as we are walking hand in hand with God, as if we are growing to know God.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? Mm-hmm. Amen. So next week we'll talk about doing, but meditate on this. knowing is about being liberated, being mature, and being renewed. Let's go to God in prayer and take communion.